Where I go to Unity of Dallas, and you know who our guest speaker is there this morning? Mindy Odlin. Oh. So I told Mindy and I are great friends, and I said, I can't believe this, but I said, the best excuse I can give you is to tell you that I will be at Unity of Wimberley. So I am glad to be here. This is my third or fourth visit here. In the past, my husband and I and friends have come just to hear Ellen. I was so tempted to, at the end of this message, is to go back and tell Ellen that you were failing miserably and that she probably needed to come back to Unity of Dallas. But number one, I knew that that wouldn't happen in a million years. And number two, it'd take a crowbar to get her out of Unity of Wimberley. You've done such a good job of retaining her. So the topic I'm going to be talking about today is what it means to be up to something. And here's what I mean by that. Probably one of the most common greetings we have when we see somebody is we say, "What's up?" And just as common is that response, "Not much." But here's the deal. That's just not true, especially with Unitics. So the deal is, what would happen if you intentionally and deliberately decided to be up to something? And where would the prompting come for that? Well, in my case, there were two promptings very early on in my life. And while that term up to something wasn't attached to them, in retrospect, that's really what it was. The first occurred when I was 16 years old. And at that time, I had been taking tap dance lessons with my twin sister for about 12 years. So my mother had a college education from Baylor, and my father had a ninth grade education. And it was really important for him that his daughters get an education. And so at 16, I remember my dad saying to me, "So what are you going to do with your life?" And I responded, I was pretty sure I was going to be a tap dancer on Broadway. Well, now any reasonable father would have used that as a teaching moment. And would have probably said, "Are you crazy? How's a little girl from Waco, Texas going to survive on the streets of Broadway? You'll be waiting tables if you're not attacked." But he didn't say any of that. This little man with his ninth grade education said very quietly, "If you want to be a tap dancer on Broadway, you'll be the best one they ever had." Now, I came to my own conclusion several years later that Broadway might not be my destination, but in retrospect, that response from him planted the seed that I can do anything. I mean, hell, if you can be a tap dancer on Broadway, you can probably run for the presidency, but I wouldn't do that in a million years. Actually, Broadway might be a better option. The second prompting that I got was when, as a young college graduate, I went with a group of friends to Washington, D.C., and I was working for a U.S. senator. I had a little summer job and just kind of stayed on, and then the time came in 1963 when he said, "I'm closing the office today, and I'm encouraging you all to go down to the mall because there's a great speaker there." And so as a 23-year-old, a young woman, I was there when Martin Luther King made his "I Have a Dream" speech. Now, before I tell you the rest of that, many of you have just pulled out your mental calculators and you're saying, "Exactly how old is that woman?" I'm 4 years from my 80th birthday. So, number one, I had my dad telling me that I could be a tap dancer on Broadway. And then I had this other man tell me that it was okay to dream and dream big. So those were the two promptings that I got. And so it was a number of years later, I found myself hanging out with a group of people in Dallas who found out together what it means when you decide to be up to something. Now the group started in around 2002, when three of us were transitioning from current careers and we wanted to find our what's next. And we found out when the three of us got together, there was something that very powerful happened with the conversation. It wasn't just networking. And so one by one, we said, you know, I know somebody else, and they're not looking for a next career, but they would love to participate in this kind of dialogue. So before you know it, this group had come together and said, boy, this is so important that we need to meet regularly. Now, these other two who started with me, many of you know I spent 17 years with Stephen Covey's organization, and when I left that organization as an employee, the young man who took over the role of managing their field office in Dallas had said, I'm ready to try something new. And then I had another friend who at the time was the editor of an alternative newspaper in Dallas, and he had just gotten his firewalk instructor certification from Tony Robbins. So he was trying to decide, am I going to be a firewalk instructor or am I going to open a leadership development company? Well, the three of us said, okay, we need to help each other on this journey, figure out what would really be the best thing to do. So you see, on the surface, about the only thing that those three of us had in common is that we wanted to make a difference in whatever it was we chose to do next. And so eventually, this group of three of us got to be a group of about 10. And so now, Don, you can put up the slide. And we didn't start out as a group. We didn't see, now, okay, you already recognize the woman on the on the first row on the right. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Ellen's involvement in this. And so this group said, we need to meet regularly. There's something that very powerful that happens. But you see, this was a very diverse group. We were not a networking group. We were not a mentoring group. We were not a mastermind group. We were extremely diverse because out of this group of first group of 10, we were older and younger, black and white, gay and straight, evangelical and new thought, single, married, divorced, widowed, all the whole, you know, I mean, we ran liberal, conservative. And I jokingly said at one of our gatherings, the only thing that all of us have in common is that we're up to something. Well, the name stuck. And so the Up to Something group came into existence, and our format is we meet the third Friday of every month from 9 until noon, usually in somebody's home. A number of people like Ellen are now in what we call alumni status, the group seems to stay at about 10. And we only have two ground rules when we get together. One is confidentiality. And the other is that judgment is suspended. People have come up with really crazy ideas about relationships, work, all kinds of things in there. And nobody ever says, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. We just hold the space for you to figure out for yourself what it is. And eventually, if I'm not on the right path, I will learn to let go of that. So there's something very powerful about hanging out with a group of people that give you permission to just hang out in that kind of space. So how do you know if it's time for you to be up to something? Do you have the other slide too or no? Pardon? Okay, I sent Ellen a revised one, but that doesn't matter. So here's the deal. Over the years, because this group started in 2002 and we're still going strong, over the years, we've decided that there's some things that Up to Something people have in common. One of them is you may be up to something if your next great idea is keeping you up at night. Now, would you keep the picture up there? Just keep the slide up there of the group and I'll show you. So the young man in the middle of the first row is Rand Stegen. Rand was the firewalk instructor or leadership development guru. He wound up as a result of the Up to Something group creating Stegen Leadership. It is now one of the preeminent leadership development companies on the planet. And Rand's mantra was, we have to encourage businesses and leaders to live by the mantras of conscious capitalism, that group that was started by the Whole Foods founder. So Rand said, whatever it is I do, it needs to make a difference. And just to let you know, that it succeeded. When Rand said conscious capitalism, he went down and introduced himself to John Mackey, the founder of Whole Foods, who started conscious capitalism. And when Mackey started that group, He, of course, was the first chairman of the board of Conscious Capitalism. The second chairman of that board was Rand Stegen. So here was the young man trying to decide if he really wanted to be a firewalk instructor or, and the or took over and he hasn't stopped since then. Another attribute of up to something people is you may be up to something if it's time to take your dreams off hold. Now, a lot of us have dreams that we've parked. And one of the people I want to tell you about who's not in this picture, her name is Kim Andrews, and she actually was your speaker here a month or two ago. She wrote a book about the Global Red Circle. Kim had been, quote, trying to write this book for about 10 years. And she would mention it from time to time in the Up to Something group. And she was saying one time, you know, I'm really getting close. I just really do think I have it in me to finish the book. And the gentleman, the tallest one on the last row, kind of right in the middle, Brent Snyder, he said quietly to Kim, so by when do you want to finish that book? And Kim said, I don't know. But she said, on the drive home, all I could think about it was this time was now. In the next 30 days between that meeting and the next Up to Something meeting, Kim finished her book that had been waiting for almost 10 years. But nobody said anything like, Kim, what's taking you so long? You know, get off, you know, this sort of thing. So it was just a beautiful new thing. And by the way, in the 14 years that the Up to Something group has been together, 6 books have been published by these members, and none of us were authors, trust me, before we came into this. Another characteristic of an up-to-something group is you may be up to something if the economy is prompting you to reinvent yourself. Now, the young man, first one on the left on the second row, is Jerry McGar. Jerry had worked with me in the Covey office for a while, and then he had gone to work for SMU as an internal consultant. But he knew that he really, really, really wanted to be on his own. But he had all of those thoughts. What if nobody hires me? What if I fail? I'm giving up the security. You know, all of those conversations that we have. And Jerry anguished through all of this, through several meetings and up to something, before he found the courage to hang out his shingle. And it was as if people were waiting to line up at his door for business. He's had more business than he can possibly handle. And here's one of the things that I love about Jerry. About 4 years ago, Jerry offered to volunteer his time as a facilitator with the Bush Leadership Institute out of SMU in Dallas that George and Laura Bush do. And what they do is they train emerging leaders in third world and company. So Jerry gives up a couple of weeks of his time each year to go to these countries. Well, the country that they're working on right now is Burma, or I guess it's Myanmar. And when Jerry went the first time to work with these young leaders with the group, he said, any way you cut it, it takes 27 hours to get there. So when he got there, the first thing he did was open his laptop and began to communicate with his partner, whom he had married some 4 or 5 years previous. And they chatted back and forth. And that night, when he went to the group meeting, the Bush people said, now, there's some things you need to know about Myanmar. One is that they don't tolerate this and this and this, and they have a very strong anti-gay policy. And if they determine that you're gay, they will arrest you on the spot, no questions asked, and you do 10 years of hard labor in prison. So Jerry said, let me tell you what I've been doing this afternoon. So the Bush people said, okay, your partner is Alex. Maybe they think Alex is a girl. And Jerry said, no, his picture's on the Facebook page. And so they then told Jerry he was not to leave his hotel room, to even go down the hall and get a drink of water or anything else without accompaniment. How Jerry taught the next 3 days there, I don't know. He said every time he got in front of that room, he waited for the door to burst open and men with guns to come in and take him away. When it didn't happen during the training, he was convinced that they would do it at the airport. And he thought, they're going to wait for me at security and get me when I go through security. And that didn't happen. So then when he got on the airplane, he said, they're going to board the plane and make an even bigger spectacle. But that didn't happen. And the plane took off, and Jerry breathed this huge sigh of relief, except that this is a 2-year program, and Jerry voluntarily went back to Myanmar last month to do the second of the programs there. And I will tell you on a sad side, one of the young women who was one of the emerging leaders there in the program, after the first time that Jerry was there, she was participating in some sort of a peaceful demonstration for something, and they arrested her on the spot and sent her off to do 10 years of hard labor in a prison camp for being a protester. And when Jerry went back this year, and all the powers that be at all the Bush levels did everything they could to get this young woman released, and it didn't work. So Jerry said when he went back this year, they learned that they also arrested her husband, put him in a separate prison, 10 years hard labor, just for being the husband of a woman they considered to be a proprietor. So this is a long way of saying that I am so grateful that Jerry made the decision to leave the comforts of his job at SMU and to take on the kind of work he is doing today. He has made a huge difference for us. So now, the other thing we know about Up to Something People, another characteristic is it may be time for you to go public with your private vision. And so I want to tell you about Mark Youngblood, who is on the third row, the gentleman on the right as you're looking. And Mark Youngblood was another person who was a very successful consultant. And in fact, his company was ISEE Global. But he was a very local company, and he used the Up to Something group to say, you know, I know it's time to go big or go home and that sort of thing. And I just asked Mark gently one time at a meeting, I said, what did you say your URL is again? And he said, ICglobal.com. And I said, I think you've already made that decision. Well, Mark remarried and abandoned us and moved to Florida about 3 years ago. But he has now become one of the most successful coaches and mentors there are around the planet, simply because he said, there's a group here that believes I can do it, and they held the space for me until I could believe that I could do it. Boy, probably one of the best characteristics of Up to Something People is we'll take any transition and turn it into a transformation. And Rita Bailey, who is the first woman on the left, first row here, Rita spent a 27-year career with Southwest Airlines. She was one of the people instrumental in setting up their People University, which we now know is emulated around the planet. And when Rita left, she too said, I don't really know what it is I could do now, but she actually runs her business under the name of Up to Something Partners. And she works with individuals and organizations to build teams who actively choose to be up to something. Marcia Clark, who is in the red second row, woman on the right. Boy, does she ever have a story and a half. Marcia went to work back for the old EDS in Dallas. She was 18 years old. She had a high school degree, and she was hired to be a secretary. When she took early retirement 18 years later from EDS, she had happened to be the first woman invited to sit at the C-suite in that organization, and she left with her master's degree because she convinced them that they should not only pay for her college, but for her to get the master's degree. When she left, she said, I thought I would just retire and the golf course would be all that I would need to entertain me, but she said I wasn't making a difference literally on the golf course. So 16 years ago, Marcia started the Power of Self program for women. It's 6 modules over about a 1-year period, and this is the 16th or 17th year that she's done that program. It became so successful that many of the global corporations who would send their women here have now asked her to come and do the program globally. And she said, I have my first grandchild. I'm tired of spending time on airplanes. So she did what any savvy businesswoman would do. Last year, she sold 2 franchise rights to her Power of Self program globally for $300,000 each. And now she's looking at how to franchise the entire business so she can spend the rest of her time playing with grandchildren and being the addicted Dallas Cowboys fan that she is. I am also honored to say that Marcia Clark is the co-author of the book that she and I wrote for women that was published in 2004. Now I want to say something about this woman on the first row, bottom row right. Her name is Ellen Davenport. When Ellen came into the group, and I want to read a quote that she sent me about Up to Something. She said, as a result of being in the Up to Something group, I learned how to handle business, how to handle people, and how to better understand myself. I was also encouraged to be absolutely authentic, and I practiced being authentic on that group. We shared a deep trust that made it okay to be whoever we were, wherever we were on our path. And when Ellen made the decision to leave Unity of Dallas, I'm still recovering from that, and she announced to the church that she would be leaving to do her research on her book, etc., she used the Up to Something group to help create an exit strategy that not only honored who she was as the senior minister of that church, but who she was as an individual. So, you know, there's just some remarkable stories about people in the Up to Something group. And I think you mentioned in the introduction, I got tired of traveling on corporate airplanes too, so I decided to the retire, rewire thing a couple of years ago. But I knew that the reason I was rewired and not retired was that I wasn't done yet. I just knew that God wasn't through with me. So when I decided to rewire, one of the things that I've done is to work with other people who want to rewire, not just retired people who don't want to go sit on the rocking chair on their front porch. Ellen is an exception because I would spend all day on the rocking chair on her front. So it's really been an amazing experience to be a part of this group. So the last person that I want to share with, and he's not in this picture, he was the music director at Unity for many, many years, created an extraordinary program. I think Neil Males has probably been here to talk. And he said, when I was first invited to be part of the amazing group of these diverse souls, I had no idea what to expect. The invitation came shortly after my departure from Unity of Dallas, and at the time, I really wasn't up to much other than grieving that loss, healing and helping my wife, who had been in a severe automobile accident, and to take care of the horses at their boarding facility. And he said, what would I have to bring to this group compared to their busy lives? But minutes after my first meeting started, I recognized the connection of body, mind, soul that transcends the differences of vocations. Being in the Up to Something group allows for open sharing of both professional and personal journeys. And one of the things I will say about Neil's dedication, he lives in Salina, which is about 25 miles from where we generally meet for Up to Something. He gets to that meeting at 9 a.m. and once he came and he said, I've already unloaded 150 bales of hay this morning and I have that to do when I get home, but I can't not have this 3 hours of my Up to Something time. And by the way, when Neil left, he has now started what is called the Kindship Group. A number of people come together and you actually have to go through an internship to authenticate how kind you are. And then once you get your kindness certification, you are committed to do so many hours a week of paying it forward in some sort of a kindness gesture. So yeah, Unity's loss was the planet's gain in that sort of thing. The last person I want to share with you, oh, I can also say we're now international because Sandy Gluckman joined our group last year. Sandy was born and raised in South Africa. Her mother came to South Africa from Romania during the Holocaust, and her mother was the only member of her family that was able to successfully leave Romania in time to get to South Africa. Sandy taught leadership both during and after apartheid. And she said there was one way that leaders communicated with their teams and people during apartheid, but when it became clear that Nelson Mandela would be released and the country would be very different, all of a sudden business leaders had to find a very different way to communicate with their people. And otherwise, this message of saying, hey, there's a big new change, yesterday the company looked like this, but today it just kind of fell on very deaf and questioning ears. So Sandy said, as she was driving home one time on the streets of South Africa, at a street corner, she noticed a lot of the black South Africans who were dancing and singing and playing music. And she saw it everywhere she looked around. They were celebrating. And she said, it occurred to me that's the way business has to communicate to them. So it was very challenging to get corporate leaders to incorporate music and movement into the messages they gave to their people. But Sandy helped them do that. Now, she came over to this country a number of years ago. She has her PhD in child psychology. And Sandy now works with parents and teachers who are interested in raising label-free children so that you would no longer say, this is my son and he's ADHD, or this is my daughter and here's where she is on the autism spectrum. So Sandy works doing quite a bit of work with the Dallas School District and parents who want to do that. So there's 100 stories more I could probably tell you about Up to Something people, and I suspect that you've gotten the gist that it's a pretty special group. So the question that frequently comes up is, do you have to be in an Up to Something group to get these results? Heck no. When Ellen came to Unity of Dallas, there were 7 women who came together and we said, we want to support your success here. We're your go-to people. Whatever it is that you need, you come to us and we'll get it done. That group chose to stay together after Ellen left. By the way, we had named ourselves the Dolly Mamas. And we have remained together to this day as an enormously powerful prayer group. And there are people we don't even know who send prayer requests to this Dolly Mamas group. So I'd like to say that the Dolly Mamas group is up to something. I'm reinventing myself right now. About 3 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And as his full-time caregiver right now, I spent a lot of mornings saying, why me? Why this? Why now? You see, I'm headed in this direction. And God just quietly said, why not? And I love the song, Kid, I'm Just Where I'm Supposed to Be, because I have to remind myself of that all the time. And I'm going to close with a compliment to this group. I've waited 2 years to have my first night away from home. And when Ellen asked if I would come here, that's when I began the process. And I have some extraordinarily great friends who, it takes a village, and they are happily entertaining Tom Gandy yesterday and today, because I thought my first 2 days of just being and taking care of me, I cannot think of a place that I would rather be, not to mention the fact that I got to spend last night in Mecca. You know it is the Steels' home, but it was Mecca to me. So I'm so appreciative to Ellen for this opportunity and for you. And my invitation for you is, whatever it means to be up to something, go figure it out for yourself and then do it. Thank you very much.